revenue estimate was based. The $200 million estimate was for a bill introduced 3 years ago that would have imposed a 15% tax rate on a taxpayer's federal income tax liability. Second, my bill provides a real and personal property tax credit a taxpayer may claim. In other words, it's and that's the reason why the non-residents would pay at least the first year over 50% of it, because it's probably a one chance in a thousand that any non-resident would have real or personal property in the state and receive a tax credit. And the earlier bill did not. And of course, I'd like to see that extended to the mom-and-pop stores that own their own property and inventory, et cetera, because they're really hurting now with the national chains moving in. We have a lot of mom-and-pop operations going by the wayside, and they're the backbone of our economy, and they should get a break. Granted, the national stores like Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club are good for the consumer, but in the long run, I think the consumer is going to hurt. For more information on how much House Bill 449 might generate or how much it might cost to administer and some of the technical aspects of the measure, I'll defer to the Department of Revenue. We will have a lot of fine-tuning to do to the bill after talking to the Revenue Department, and I intend to work closely with them and your committee and possibly come up with either a sponsor substitute or a committee substitute. Of course, why an income tax? As I touched on, we have other proposals out there. I submit to you, like the sin taxes. We have a situation where a great portion of our non-resident wage earners in the state, particularly the fishing industry, every document vessel that leaves a port in the lower 48 can get all the tax-free cigarettes or booze they want. It's virtually uncontrolled. Naturally, they couldn't take a boatload, but it's a situation where they wouldn't even be touched by sin taxes, as an example. I know it's not fair to talk about other bills, but there is a real correlation here. It just acts in reverse of what we're trying to do, as to have the non-resident contribute to the economy and the state. Like I said, first year, 50%, over 50% would be paid by seasonal workers or transient workers or non-resident. It's interesting, we have probably thousands of part-time residents that come up here and work during the season, and some may stay 6 months, some less, but they're still residents of the state, but they're living in places in the lower 48. Seattle, a lot of fishermen, resident fishermen, spend their winters down there, and it's reasonable to expect their boat repairs are normally done down there, and a lot of the fishing industry is oriented to Seattle. So consequently, they're really contributing to the state of Washington, and we should be getting them to contribute more to the economy up here. In fact, we have a lot of people that are not just fishermen that just come up for the summertime. Granted, they make sure they're back in time to qualify year after year for the permanent fund dividend. But during several, many months of the year, they're contributed to the economy of other states. A lot of them go to Arizona for the winter. So we don't get the trickle-down benefit in our economy up here. So why not an income tax? I know nobody likes taxes, but I think this is one we should have. And granted, in my own business, it hurts me to propose something like this. An example, the marine fuel tax, which never got into effect, but at least we got it through the legislature. I suffered about $1,000 worth of damage in my store over that a couple of weeks ago. A couple of non-resident fishermen got given my bar and lounge manager a bad time, and naturally kicked him out. So as they passed the store, we can't prove this, but it's very obvious, the timing, et cetera, they broke out the entrance doors and the hardware entrance. It cost about $1,000. And interestingly enough, a big portion of my customers are non-residents, being that Unalaska is, has their main industry is the fishing industry, and the majority of them are all non-residents, including transient workers, of which there's thousands of them. All my potential customers, I shouldn't say they're all my customers. And it's a detriment of my own business to submit something like this, but I think it's my duty to do so. You know, a lot of my constituents don't like it. You know, sure, I'll lose some votes over it, but I didn't think I was sent down here to protect my own business or do just what's politically expedient. So that's why I submitted the bill. Gladly answer any questions you might have.
Any questions or comments for the sponsor, Representative Green?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. More of a comment, I guess, than a question. And if with your indulgence, I'll make a rather juvenile comparison, but if we have this cabin and it requires a certain amount of fire in the fireplace to keep it warm, and about 18 years ago we began to add so much fuel to that fire that it got out of control and starting to burn the house down, and so we're coming in now with fire extinguishers trying to sequester that fire that's out of control back into the fireplace, it seems a little bit in the wrong direction to come along with gasoline now, even though it's a little bit of gasoline, to try and get government under control. I champion the sponsor's idea that we are allowing people to take advantage of the situation that we have in Alaska by living other places. I know from my prior experience there are a lot of slope workers making big bucks, living outside the state and coming up either on a 6-2 or a 4-4 or whatever their work schedule might be. And we should have an avenue to prevent that, because in some cases, like in your area, I would imagine, we even in the larger areas, we have to provide services for the period of time they're here, and quite often it's more service per capita than was required from the those of us who live here all year long. And I don't deny any of that. I think it's laudable that we try and do something about it, but I still am committed to the fact that it's not a good idea when you can see that state spending is beyond where it should be to add fuel to that state spending until you get it under control. It seems to me that the more you add, once you open this door again, then if 20 million is good, why not make it 200 million and we'll increase the rate or whatever's necessary to bring it back up and fill the fiscal gap with more funding rather than more cutting. And so for that reason, I am not in favor of this legislation, at least not at this time.
Thank you. Is there any other comments before we go to the Department of Revenue to give us an OMB?
Madam Chair, Representative Moses, I would commend you on your courage for introducing this legislation. It does take a lot of courage. I guess basically where I'm coming from and what I probably hate to see happen is piecemealing revenue enhancements, if you will, before we have a plan. And I know, Representative Moses, you're part of the majority, and I'm just wondering if you foresee the majority coming down with, with an overall fiscal plan that might address not only budget cuts that I think everyone agrees that we have to make, and also a plan that would encompass revenue enhancements, if you will, along the line of an income tax, and as you mentioned earlier, so-called sin taxes and what have you, and maybe even looking at how, you know, at the permanent fund dividend earnings. In other words, something more comprehensive than just, you know, piecemealing things.
Well, first of all, I don't think we can do any tax that's not more comprehensive than the income tax. It hits all, it's the fairest way. And it doesn't hit just one segment of the population. And it's regarding the overall plan, whoever plan it may be, whether it's the governors and minorities or the majorities, I hope this will become part of the plan. I guess I'm the extreme minority right now, but so be it. And I think there's only so much we're going to be able to cut. And granted, we could cause a minor recession or a major recession in the state by cutting too much. We don't know what's going to come down the pike from Washington, D.C. as far as cuts concerned. We have the whole fishing industry is in a doldrums as far as the health of that is concerned. This affects the economy of the state. We're still benefiting from the large capital expenditures we made in 94, fiscal year 94, to the tune of 600 and some million dollars. We're still benefiting from that. And we have to be aware that we may have a serious recession in the state, and mainly in Anchorage, because Anchorage is the service area. It's something that we have to think about. And I don't think we can just cut. Granted, a tax doesn't necessarily help the economy, but in this case, it will contribute millions of dollars to the economy state by keeping that money, or taking the money, or not taking it, but having non-residents pay. And a lot of our residents will contribute to this that we're not benefiting from now, such as those that live in the lower 48 a good portion of the year. We actually have foreigners living in the state or full-time residents year after year that send every nickel they make to a foreign country. They're content living in the state for 10, 15 years and sending all their money home because they never had it so good. They live away from their family for years and send their money home. That doesn't trickle down into our economy. This is a method to get some of that money back into our economy. And it's something we should seriously look at.
Any other comments? Representative Volkan?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to associate myself with the remarks from Representative Willis that I admire your courage for standing up and doing what you think is right. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for you.
I know it's right.
Because that, well, I guess I'll argue that point now. I believe very strongly, and I feel very strongly that my constituents believe that if we impose any new taxes without making appropriate cuts first, there'll be no motivation to reduce the budget. And I think there's certainly the perception on the part of the public that we have a bloated state government, and we aren't interested in bringing that under control. We're only interested in new revenue sources, and I guess I would have to say, personally, from my philosophy, is that I understand the argument of the out-of-staters that don't pay anything here and don't contribute to the economy. I think, at least in the oil industry, it could certainly be argued that their employer certainly pays a disproportionate share and possibly some of their share of the taxes in the state. And I guess I have, I personally think that the fairest tax would be a sales tax, or if we have to have a tax, because it taxes not only the people that work, but the people that don't work that receive welfare benefits, and that it taxes according to how you spend, and doesn't penalize you for saving or investing, and which I believe an income tax does. I'll have a hard time voting to pass this bill out of committee because of that, with all due respect.
I guess I'd like to make a few comments, because I guess my idea is kind of a culmination of others' ideas, and we've discussed that, Representative Moses. I guess I believe that ultimately we will have to have an income tax. Contrary to what Representative Ogun said, I believe an income tax is the most fair tax that we can have. I believe that a sales tax should be reserved for the municipalities and local government as a way to get money in. And the biggest problem with the sales tax is that everybody wants to make a lot of exemptions to the sales tax law, and then you have an accounting nightmare that's borne completely by the business person, and that's unfair, I think, for them to take on the responsibilities being tax collector. I guess that my area of concern is the timing, and I think there is a concern that we must reduce state spending. I agree with Representative Moses. While we're doing reduction of state spending, we're missing a lot of capital needs in the state. There are some real serious needs out there, and by maintaining the cap on the capital spending at $100 million, we really don't address those issues, and we're putting them on hold. When they resurface, they're probably going to cost us more than if we were doing a little bit all the way along. But I think there's one other reason, and that's one of the points that you made as to why we ought to have an income tax, is that I believe that the people in this state believe people who are not residents here, who are not participating in the cost of the services that we're providing for them, are not treating us fairly. And from all the people I've talked to, people really would like to collect some money from those people who are not residents here. The other thing I think that is, it's a philosophical point with me, and that is that I believe if we are paying for the government, we'll be more concerned with how they spend their money. So I think that if we do have an income tax, we're physically taking out of our personal budget and paying to the state for the services we want to receive, that we'll be more scrutinizing of these services, and we'll be only wanting the state to provide the services that we really want to pay for. I think that I don't feel the big threat that we can't cut some of the spending, and I guess I have the concern that we don't just cut for cut's sake, that we really seriously look at what we're cutting out and actually take out programs that we don't want to do anymore or ought not to be doing anymore, as opposed to just drawing down the money so that the people have the services have to perform the same services with less ability to perform. I would really like to do an evaluation of the services that we provide, decide what we don't want to do and what we ought to continue, and then fund those things sufficiently to continue them. I agree that you're very brave to bring this bill out. I'm not brave enough to do it, even though I've talked about it to a lot of people, that I think down the line that is something that we have to do. I wouldn't venture to guess when that would be a good time for that. But I agree with you, Representative Moses, it's time to start talking about it, because the people are talking about it out there, and I think they expect us to talk about it whether we like it or don't like it, say why we do and why we don't, give good argument as to why it should be or should not be, as opposed to just a philosophical bent against any taxes at all. So for that reason, and we're running a little short of time here, I'd like to continue this hearing to the next calendar and allow, I don't know whether you have any other testimony besides the Department of Revenue, but I would like to hear from them. We have 5 minutes left, and Representative Ivan hasn't had an opportunity to say anything.
I'd like to make a few short...
Sure, go ahead, Representative Ivan.
Short comments, and I certainly... I've been in Representative Moses' district, and I've observed some of the workforce people from Alaska, but from coming through Seattle for the summer fishing periods. I've seen and observed that in person. I was looking at 500 to 600 employees, and I didn't see very many of our folks from especially the YK Delta area. And I share and understand some of his concerns, and Alaska is such a huge state, 365+ million acres, and diversity of people. We have rural Alaska out there, certainly the urban centers, and we look to solving some of those problems that we do have out there in a form of taxes. And I'm looking at one problem now and try to look for some solutions in arriving at. But yes, I do understand where the sponsor is coming from, and certainly agree with some of his philosophy.
Thank you, Representative Ivan. There's another, you know, another issue, and then I'll let you wrap up, Representative Mogan. Mogan.
There's a joint venture over there was one.
Oh, well. A couple of other things that I didn't say. Number one is that we know that politicians like to spend money, and that my fear of putting in additional money in the pot will not provide the opportunity for us to be scrutinizing the budget and getting it to whatever that level of is. I don't think anyone's ever told me what that level of spending ought to be. But I think we need to find that, whatever that is, and during the process, before we throw more money in the pot, we do have reserves to take care of that gap. And fact is, if the truth were to be known, we don't even have a gap if we include all of the earnings that we have, including the earnings that's left over after permanent fund dividend and inflation-proofing the fund, that extra earnings reserve amount, we probably have very little fiscal gap, if any. But we all know that spending the earnings reserve of the permanent fund is political suicide. The public doesn't expect us to spend that, so those are off limits, which is one of the reasons why we've decided to get it out of the way and say, you know, if this is off limits to the public, then let's put it away and let's make our plans without that. But there's one more point that I wanted to make that I didn't, and that is that as we increase the economic activity in this state, which is what I support, we have many, many resources in this state and opportunities for our people to have good jobs. That the only way that we can factor in the added necessary government services that additional people working requires is to tap into that income in some way, shape, or form to provide the money for those services. So that as we increase the economic activity, we need to have an income tax or something that helps these people who are working pay for the government services they need. And so down the road, and I don't know when that is either, I believe that we need to be looking at, and now is a good time to start talking about it, to decide just exactly when the click-in date is for an income tax. So now I'll give you a few minutes to wrap up.
Well, I maintain that we don't get, we'd probably be drilling in Anwar right now if we didn't have $18 billion in the bank. Now, I don't say we shouldn't have that, but the congressmen, senators, bureaucrats in lower 48 don't have any sympathy for us as long as we're not taxing ourselves in some form, whether it be highway tax or et cetera. And by the way, we stand a chance of having, instead of getting $200 million for highways, when they review our status on that situation here next year, we could drop down to $50 million. Who knows? If we don't raise our highway tax. I know that's off the subject. But anyway, if I was a congressman in the lower 48, I'd be very envious of this state and restrict any appropriations, or I'd have a tendency to vote to lock up the whole state because we're not hurting. They're jealous of us, I'm sure. Well, the majority of them. But back on what the public wants, I think through the past several elections, the candidates, not just who's down here now, have psyched the public into thinking that all you have to do is come down here and cut the budget. No taxes. Well, they love to hear that. So we've psyched them into thinking that. And, hey, the public is gullible. And they don't understand what we have to go through down here. And the worst part is we don't necessarily cut what should be cut. I don't mind admitting. And I campaigned, when I got goofy and ran again, 92, I campaigned on the fact that we need an income tax. It shouldn't have been taken off in the first place. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you, Representative Moses. And if the Department of Revenue understands that we ran out of time today, I would like to, and I don't know when we'll schedule it again, but I would really like to hear from the department on this issue. I think it is an important issue to get out there. And I think the news media is here. I really think that it is time to start discussing it. I'm not ready to pass it. I'm not ready to pass it out of here. I'm not really even willing to, because there's a lot of other ideas that I have about an income tax when it comes, and I'm not really willing to get into working at that now. But I do think it is an opportune time for us to discuss it and let the people come forward with what the issues are, and we need to hear from Department of Revenue. So we'll roll it over to another day and have it in bills previously heard. We'll give a 24-hour notice for sure when we're going to hear it. And thank you very much for coming today.
I hope they'll be thinking differently a month from now.
Okay, all right.
Can we say rest in peace?
Yeah, but before we go, I've got one more issue. House Bill 390 is a King Salmon Tags bill. by Kim Elton, and it was referred to State Affairs, and he'd like to have that bill waived to the Fisheries Committee. And I want to know if anyone has any objection to waiving it on to the Fisheries Committee.
I object.
There's an objection, then we will... I know that there are bills waived out without an objection, but if there's an objection, I will not waive the bill. So, thank you.
Can we revisit HJR 51 and make sure there was no objection?
That's the one that Karen Robinson had a concern on.
Have we heard from her?
No, we have not.
Thank you.
I'll object.
Okay, I've got an objection without Karen Robinson, so we'll have to hear the bill.
There's another one.